that day were about 5 feet high, so they were shorter than I am. And even those 5 foot waves in a relatively large charter boat, the captain decided, you know, it's just too dangerous. And so we all understand the fear associated with both storms and drowning, right? But combine that fear with all of a sudden, here comes a ghost-looking thingamabob walking on the water. Okay, you know, I'm going to have to change my pants or something because I'm scared. I mean, this is over the top, amen? This is over the top. It's enough. We got the lightning and the thunder and the rain, but now we got a ghost? You kidding me? I'm scared, okay? But when you look at Matthew 14, you hear about Peter's understanding of this. And he was probably just as afraid as the other apostles. But what did Jesus say? He said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water. He is a nut. I mean, Peter's a nut. And so he gets out and he actually walks on the water. Do you know there's only two people in human history who have ever done that? And one of them is Peter and the other is Jesus. Peter puts himself in incredible company with just these few steps. People criticize the faith of Peter, but the question is, what were the other 11 doing? They were in the boat changing their pants. That's what the other 11 were doing, okay? And Peter said, Lord, call me to come to you on the water, and I'll come. And he got out, and he took just a few steps. And began to fall because he saw the wind and the waves. But the reality is, Peter took a few steps on the water. That's incredible. That's nuts. But imagine the fear. Picture yourself in the boat and imagine the fear. 4 miles from either shore. And you see a ghost. But Jesus identifies himself. We have the event with Peter, etc., etc. Look at verse 21. They were willing, therefore, to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Now, notice this. Don't forget this, church. Verse 21 is important because what verse 21 tells us is there were two miracles going on here. We always remember the walking on the water and the saving of Peter as he began to drown. But sometimes we forget there was a double miracle here because the Bible says they suddenly found themselves at their destination. Now remember, they were 4 miles from either shore. They were in the center, hopelessly at a point of no return. And the Bible says suddenly they found themselves at their destination. There was a second miracle here. But look at what happens when Jesus miraculously brings them to their second destination. We're going to read a long passage here. I hope you'll bear with me. We're going to read 11 verses, verses 25 through 35. So they're at their second destination. Verse 25 says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? So they kind of realized he was miraculously here. Jesus answered them and said, truly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. That's important. I'm going to read it again. Truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. They said therefore to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. They said therefore to him, what then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Now let's stop right there, and we're going to continue on. But let's stop right there and let's look at the questions that they just asked. These are the same people who were the 20 or 30,000 people that Jesus just fed the previous evening. They just watched him turn loaves and fish from a boy's lunchbox into enough food to feed all of them, and less than 12 hours later, they say, what are you going to do so that we will believe? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Can you imagine the frustration of Jesus when he's thinking, were you not here last night? Are you kidding me? You're asking me what I'm going to do so that you'll believe me? What happened in the last 12 hours? Don't tell me you forgot. But the people who had 12 hours earlier experienced the feeding power of Jesus had the nerve to say to him, what are you going to do now so that we'll really believe? Oh my goodness. Jesus was already having a bad day. Look at verse 32. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And they said therefore to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They still don't get it. And verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus says, you just don't get it. Jesus says, I wanted you to come to me for the spiritual food that I am bringing to the world. Jesus came to bring a new and better way of interacting with God, of interacting with each other. We're going to talk about that new and better way in our adult Bible class after this, but Jesus came to bring something new. Something better, a better covenant built on better promises. And people were asking him for bread, church. Sometimes we ask things of God, and God doesn't give them because he has something so much better in mind. Jesus says, I'm bringing you a way to interact personally, one-on-one with God, and you're asking me for bread? Seriously? Were you not here 12 hours ago when I brought you bread, and yet you're asking me for bread, and I tell you I've got something even better. I am the bread of life, and whoever eats my bread, whoever drinks my spiritual drink will never hunger and never thirst. He said the same thing to the woman at the well 2 chapters earlier. When he answered a question that she asked, she says, my people worship on this mountain, but your people say in Jerusalem is where we ought to worship. And Jesus says, woman, an hour is coming, and now is when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. But he says, you will worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus, the point is not where you worship, but how you worship. Jesus, the point is not the physical things with which you surround yourself when you worship. The point is the condition of your heart as you worship. And Jesus says, the point is not what food you eat or how much food you eat. The point is whether you have consumed Jesus. What I want for this church and every church there is in the world more than anything else is to know Jesus. We fuss and we argue. And we ask things of ourselves, and we ask things of God. But I wonder if we really step back and realize the power in knowing Jesus. Jesus says the truth will set us free. Jesus says he who eats of the food that I give and the drink that I give will never hunger and never thirst. Sometimes we ask for things and we don't get them because, church, we are missing the point. And God has something in mind which is so very much greater. And so I ask you, like I asked you in the beginning of my thoughts this morning, which of these characters are you right now? Are you the Nazarenes, unimpressed and even sort of embittered by Jesus? Rest assured, Jesus will not do much in your life. Because quite frankly, you discourage him. Are you King Herod? King Herod killed John the Baptist. And then he met Jesus. And he assumed that Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead, as if John the Baptist was some kind of an Obi-Wan Kenobi or something. And Herod was scared. John the Baptist is going to be more powerful now because he has risen. So my question for you is, are you Herod this morning and you don't even understand who Jesus is? You're asking Jesus for things. You kind of respect Jesus. You believe in God, but you don't really even know who he is. Let me tell you something. He is most certainly the Son of God. And that's powerful. And you will be blessed if you get to know him. Are you Philip? And in your mind, your problems are unsolvable. Are you Philip? And it doesn't matter what resources you had at your disposal, life is hopeless. Jesus can do something more powerful than you expect. Are you Andrew? Always bringing people to Jesus, but not sure what he can do. Prepare for him to show you something impressive. Are you the other disciples? Carrying God's blessings to others like the disciples were carrying the bread and the fish morsels to those 20 or 30,000 people. Are you those disciples wondering if there's going to be any left over for you? Are you a good Christian who's working hard and trying to help people and sometimes you just wonder, is it going to be enough to help me? My message to you is, just like the disciples gathered up a full bushel basket full for each one of them, and there were 12 baskets left for 12 apostles, Jesus' message to you who are trying to help people and wondering in what's left for you, Jesus' message is, there will be more than enough. Keep serving, keep loving, and God will take care of you.
Amen.
With more than enough. Are you one of those 20 or 30,000 people witnessing and benefiting from the blessings of Jesus, but always demanding more of him? You believe in Jesus. You even acknowledge and respect his power. But you're not like the disciples distributing his blessings to others. You're the crowd asking him for more and more and more and more. Jesus is the bread of life. Don't forget that his greatest gifts are spiritual gifts. Eat his spiritual food and be satisfied with it. Be content. Distribute his blessings to others without demanding for yourself. Finally, I hope we all can say today that we are the young boy. We're saying to Jesus, I don't have much, but Jesus, everything I have that is who I am, I give to you. I'm reminded of the lame man. And Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give to you. Rise and walk. The lame man was asking for food and he didn't get it. He didn't get what he was asking for. Question. Do you think he left disappointed? That he didn't get any food? I doubt it. I doubt it. He didn't get what he asked God for because God had something much, much greater in mind. Brings to mind the decision that was made by our Supreme Court recently. Well, to allow those of a homosexual persuasion to marry one another. As we think about our response to those individuals who want to marry someone of the same gender, perhaps our response might be similar to this story. I can't give you what you think you want because God has something even better for you. And so our response is not a response of hate. We don't wish ill will. We just know that God has something better. And so what you're asking for reflects the fact that you don't get it. And so I'm not going to give you what you're asking for. I'm going to introduce you to something even better. And with God's blessings, I guarantee you won't leave disappointed. Maybe there's someone here today who feels like they just don't have much. Maybe they feel inadequate to be a Christian. Maybe they feel like they're not good enough. Maybe they feel like they've sinned too much to be a Christian. Well, I tell you, jump in my boat. Because I'm not good enough to be a Christian either. And I've sinned far, far too much. But I am blessed by the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And His blood washes those sins that I've committed far, far too many of. And God knows that I have very little to give Him. But God is pleased with the fact that what little I have, I give back to Him. And God promises me that what little I have to give to Him, He's going to give it back. And He's going to turn it into something powerful. Maybe there's someone here today who needs God to turn their little bitty life into something incredible. Maybe there's someone here today who's ready to be a story like the story of the young boy with his stupid peanut butter and jelly every day. And you're ready for God to turn your PB&J into something incredible. You have to give it to Him. You have to give it to Him. And you have to trust that maybe even the very thing you're asking for is something you will never receive. But you have to trust that what you do receive is powerful and is worth having. And you will not be disappointed. Maybe there's someone here today who wants to give their little tiny self to God. Maybe there's someone here today who wants to be baptized into Christ. Who wants to say, from here on out, every little bitty thing that I have belongs to God. I encourage you to come now while together we stand and sing.